In case you came in late and haven't heard, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And as Pastor Susan reminded us last week, we have learned not to compete with your Super Bowl parties. But really, how could we? Compared to church, the Super Bowl has, well, to begin with, food. Do you remember the last time someone offered you wings or beer in worship? Me either. Better seating. Wooden pews are just not meant to be stretched out and gotten comfortable on. And some might say a reason to deeply and desperately pray. We pray in church. We pray in church for sure. It's an important part of our worship. But we don't usually pray so hard that we break out into a cold sweat, holding our breath and twisting in agony while our team is on the first yard line. Whether you dislike sports or never miss a game, there is something to learn by looking at the Super Bowl through the lens of church. Now, I freely confess here that I am not a football fan. I don't have a pony in tonight's race, nor do I have any legitimate predictions about who will win. Maybe you do. I actually want to know. Who's rooting for the 49ers? Okay. And the Kansas City Chiefs? Almost forgot who they were. Okay. It's kind of 50-50. It's 50-50. How many are just like me and you don't really care? Okay. Winner. Winner, chicken dinner. But still, I plan to watch. And I plan to root for the Chiefs, if I'm honest. But not because I really care about their team or know anything about them. But because for the last 7 years that my neighbors have lived next door to me, I have kind of low-key made fun of the Kansas City Chiefs flag they fly on their front door stoop. And every time I walk by their house, walking my dogs, I think to myself, oh, bless their hearts, the Kansas City Chiefs. Aww. And as it turns out, they've got a pretty hot team showing up to the Super Bowl. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs by way of making amends to my lovely neighbors. How about you? Do you all have plans to watch the Super Bowl? Yeah, right. What is it about the Super Bowl that draws in sports fanatics and whatever the opposite of sports fanatics are? The indifferent, I guess? Is it the humans violently crashing into each other? Is it the tormenting suspense? Is it the possibility of a shocking halftime malfunction of the wardrobe? I'm not judging. But Raina, who is my source for all things football, super fan, I put that question to her. I said, Raina, what is so special about the Super Bowl? And she effortlessly rattled off a list. She said, Donna, the Super Bowl is special because it has something for everyone. Football super fans who are all in for the game, even if their team isn't playing. Pop culture fans who watch for the commercials. Entertainment enthusiasts are there for the halftime show. J-Lo and Shakira, yo, that's gonna be good. And even if none of that appeals to you, there is simply the joy of gathering with family and friends and people you like. And I like that assessment. I can find myself on that list. Ultimately, the Super Bowl machine is driven by all of those things and fans with intense dedication to their teams. The more invested you are, the more exciting the game is. You say the words Super Bowl to any random person on the street, even the ones least interested in sports, and they'll be able to tell you that this is professional football's pinnacle of excellence. But the most devoted fans, the ones that feel so connected to the glory of the Super Bowl title that they stand in front of the television screaming, run, get him, throw it, as if the players can actually hear their commands. We think that our fandom makes a difference in the way our teams play. We enter the stadium backwards or wear the same socks for every pair of game. We can wear the right gear, we can chant the right cheers, but deep down, we know those things don't really matter. Because ultimately, it's not about getting the win. It's about being a part of something bigger than ourselves, together. That sentiment is so effectively demonstrated by the fans of the English Liverpool Football Club. Sorry, let me just move away from Super Bowl for just a second, because in my house, we pronounce football, football, because we're soccer fans. Of course, by their very nature, both U.S. football fans and soccer fans in the U.S. really love their favorite sport. But when it comes to fan dynamics, there's just a world of difference. The most prominent being the stadium atmosphere, which can be annoying to some. From the starting whistle to the end of the game, fans in the UK will be chanting and singing and banging drums. It's not unusual for the crowd to break out singing, "You never walk alone," in unison. Anybody here think that's a weird connection? UK football with the 1940s song hit, her hit song from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway musical, Carousel. All right. The song was an instant hit because of its wartime message of hope in times of adversity. The piece remained popular throughout the 50s, and in 1963, a recording by a prominent English band, Jerry and the Pacemakers, as you all remember, they brought this song to the doorstep of the Liverpool Football Club. Legend has it that the organization had just installed a new and the first PA system, which they used to hype the crowds and bring popular music of the day. "You'll Never Walk Alone" was a fan and player favorite. But the song took on a much deeper and more tragic meaning after the Hillsborough disaster of 1989, when a human crush at the gate of the stadium injured hundreds of people and 96 fans lost their lives. Those who perished to this day are still known as the Hillsborough 96. That song is still dedicated to team members that they lost. We belong to something much bigger, and we never walk alone. Jesus' whole ministry was dedicated to teaching us that lesson. That's what's at the heart of the scripture that Raina read from the book of Romans. Jesus didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles. He jumped right in and got involved. He takes on the troubles of the troubled and encourages them, encourages us to this day, in order that we may help each other grow and become one in the Spirit, all for the glory of God. Eugene Peterson says it this way: "May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to God." When Liverpool fans break out into that song, they are lifting up their team as much as each other, and it is a stunning anthem to God. The analogies of professional sports versus church aren't perfect, so don't take me on at the door, run that play too far down the line, but there are parallels, don't you think? Here's another one. The more games you watch, the more you care about the players and the coaches and the franchise. Partly because some of the time, in some cases, partly because of the amount of time, and in some cases, the amount of money that you've invested and the memories that you've generated. And isn't that the same with church? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So if worship doesn't have you on the edge of your seat, ready to leap into action, maybe you need to get more involved. Maybe it's time for you to volunteer to work with the children that sometimes distract you during worship. Maybe it's finally time to embrace the vulnerability of authentic leadership and offer that Sunday morning spiritual formation group that you've been wanting for yourself. Or maybe it's just time to reach out and ask that person that you admire so much if they could accompany you through something difficult in your life right now. We are a team. And if the Super Bowl teaches us anything, it's that there is joy in the journey that we travel together. As a process person, what I believe and what I want you to know is that how we get where we're going is equally as important as where we're going. The scripture says that the strong don't leave the weak behind. We build each other up with encouragement and enthusiasm. Church is not a spectator sport. It takes more than just showing up with painted faces and cheering for the other players to do their jobs. We are teammates. We're all in this together. Win or lose, a team supports each other no matter what. Just like players in the Super Bowl hold out a hand to their teammates, or in the best case scenario, to their opponents when they're down, just as players encourage each other on the sidelines when they're losing or celebrate with them when they're winning, so are we called to endure and encourage one another as the body of Christ. And whether you plan to watch the game this afternoon or not, I'm going to challenge you to make this a Super Sunday. Why not have a conversation with that person you've struggled to agree with in the past? Or compliment someone you've sort of judged and dismissed. Tell them what you admire about them. Invite someone who feels awkward in new situations to sit with you at lunch, or to join you for a spiritual formation group in the next couple weeks. Or take a hot bubble bath and forgive yourself for loving your friends and family, but not the Super Bowl. Church is the place where we train and practice our game, the place where we get to work hard to develop our courage muscles so we're ready to move that ball of justice and love down to the end zone. And we want to do that with the same kind of enthusiasm and joy as those who show up for the Super Bowl, even when they don't have a team in the game. For God so loved the world, not some, not one group or another, the world. That's the win. So no matter what happens today, tomorrow, or in the upcoming year, whether you feel like a winner or a loser, you are irrevocably loved and called to share that good news with others, enthusiastically and with joy. Amen.